podcast doesn't sound that shitty. You know what I mean? Like, our, like, as far as, like, amateur podcasts go, ours sound good. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't do my levels. Like, we talked before, I'm like, I don't know, this seems right. Is it you? Is it you that just makes it sound good?
No.
I don't know. How do some podcasts sound so fucking bad?
I think that they record with, like, either not good mics or they're, like, headphone speakers. Like, the mic with their headphones. I don't know. Because sometimes people, like, mostly guests, if they're doing, like, a Zoom call, then they don't have an actual external mic. They just use the one that they have, that they're using with their headphones mic.
Hello, Cat D.
Hi, Jason.
What's going on, Toits? What's going on, sweetheart? How you feeling?
I'm just recovering.
Cat Ramachandran was sick.
I was sick as a dick. Twice in one calendar year, Jason?
You sounded terrible, because we were going to record about 4 days ago, and then you sent me the most fucking haggard I've ever heard you.
Should I play it?
Sure.
Where is it?
Well, no, you say the N-word like a couple of times.
I'll cut it out. I have the power to do that.
After I texted you, I went to sleep for like 11 hours. I only just woke up now, and I was supposed to go to work, but then they heard what I sound like, and they're like, stay the fuck away. But this is what I sound like. It sounds like I smoke 5 packs a day, or less than that.
It's kind of hot, honestly.
Don't get sick, Jason.
It's actually a hot voice. Well, like, I don't know. I hearing it, because I'm hearing it through your microphone. I'm hearing it through a lot of walls right now.
Oh, yeah.
When I heard it the first time through my phone, it didn't sound hot. But through that, it sounds cool.
I sent a bunch of people some voice notes because I was like, I can't believe I sound like this. Anytime I've ever been sick, which is, ladies and gentlemen, very rarely. The last time I was sick before I was first sick in, like, September of this year, I think I was half sick in like 2019. And I say half sick because I felt something and I went, no, not happening. I was flying to visit our friend Connor in Vancouver. And I was like, I am not going to be sick for this trip. I was popping and snorting cold effects like no tomorrow. And I was like, this stops now. And then I was fucking sick in September for my vacation. And then I got sick just out of the blue. I was perfectly fine. And I was like, waking up early, going to the gym, eating like a little bit better. I was like, oh my God, this is it. 2023 is going to be me. Like, my habits will be established. That's it. And then I wake up and I fucking sound like that. So I sent a bunch of people some voice notes and then they were all like, that was kind of hot. I was like, really? I sound like I smoke 70 packs a day.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about raspy voice. I don't know. Like, or like not raspy, crackly. Or maybe raspy, not crackly.
Yeah. I don't know. After people said it and then my voice started to come back. Because also the reason why I recorded a lot of voice notes is because anytime I've ever been sick, my voice is never affected. Like, I can talk so much in one day. I can scream at a concert. I can do anything. My voice is never affected. And then the one time it is, I took full advantage of recording everything and letting people know I sounded different, because that never happens. And then for people to say it sounded hot, it sounded good, I was like, oh, saving all of these. And then after I started to get better, like my voice got normal, I was like, oh, now I just sound congested, which is super, super not hot.
No, it's icky sticky. No, I love, Yeah, no, I love morning voice. I love mucusy voice. It just sounds, because it's literally, it's just vibrant. It's just, you're so much more resonant. It's
so,
it's
textured.
It's like, it's just forced, resonance, and it sounds so cool.
Other than that, I'm okay. I've been decorating furiously for Christmas.
Because it's almost Christmas.
It's almost Christmas.
Who was that lady that sings the song? It's Christmas. The Christmas lady? Who is
Camila Cabello?
Is that who that is?
I'll be home for Christmas.
Like, it's that. I was doing it all day too. If you haven't seen, there's like the what's her face singing Christmas, and she just like it's like that scene from Community when Annie does like the baby voice. Yeah, it was just like, I'll be home for Christmas.
When I was Christmas shopping, It was the only sound that was playing on a loop in my head. Everything I looked, I was like, I'll be home for Christmas. Other than Christmas, a man at work told me that COVID is over.
And oh, I shit. Said, that's awesome.
I was like, oh, my God. Thanks for letting me know. I did not hear that. I clearly missed the news. Thanks so much, dude, for spreading the good word. How are you, Jason Hool?
I'm fine. I'm good. I got my hair cut, which is
good.
Yeah, it looks
lovely.
Thank you. Speaking of Corona and haircut, I guess, there's barbershops are kind of like, I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast before, but barbershops are this weird hellscape of performative masculinity that I don't really, like, I can't really connect with. But there's one place I go to, it's a good barbershop, but they're just all fucking, like, they were super, even when COVID was still, like, really going on, like, curfew and stuff, they were super... It was like, hey, can I get a haircut? He's like, yeah. Do you want to hear about my opinions on the trucker convoy? I'm like, I don't want a haircut. He's like, well, here's the thing. It's Trudeau's a pussy. And I was like, all right, cool. All
right, cool.
But I went there. So I went for the haircut. They have this gigantic, like, neon sign that says Corona now. Like Corona the beer.
Oh.
But I'm just like, but no.
But like, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
yeah, Corona the beer. Okay.
Sure, bud.
sure, bud.
Other than, I'm good. Shows are doing, still keeping busy. Doing lots of shows, doing lots of stand-up.
Nice.
I had a I still have issues with compulsion, and I still am an addict. I still have no capabilities to moderate my intake of alcohol or food. No, alcohol, I've been good. But I want to tell you, I had a very certifiable Jason Hool moment over this past weekend.
Oh, God.
I love chicken wings.
You heard it here first, folks.
I love chicken wings, and but I'll never get them in restaurants because they're literally such a fucking rip. One of the venues that I do, that I go every Wednesday, I do a show at, it's like literally it's $21 for, I think, like fucking 15 wings. It's like 21 bucks, and it costs a dollar extra for ranch. Sorry, readjusting.
It's 2022.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself to death. There we go.
So I love chicken wings, but I often don't get them because they're so cost ineffective.
Yeah.
At the grocery store, they were selling half off chicken wings for the Quebec, you know, Milestones in Ontario?
Yes.
The Quebec version of that is this place called like La Cage or something.
Okay.
And so they're selling their wings at 50% off.
Wow.
And I don't know, normally I'd be able to eat all this food, no problem. But so like I saw they had 50% off wings. So I think, how about instead of just getting like a bunch of wings and so I can have them cheap throughout the week, what if I just get two boxes of chicken wings, which is about 15, 16 wings per box? So what if I just get them both and I'll have like a big pig out? Like I'll have like, cause I always want more wings than I can. So I have two. So I decided like, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat two boxes of chicken wings.
Okay.
And because I don't like the idea of like, I always want a little bit more than one box. So I ate I was eating all the chicken wings and I was feeling really bad.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was already realized like, okay, but I finished the equivalent of one box of chicken wings and then I was full, but I was like, okay, well, fuck, I still have another box of chicken wings to go. I guess I got to get into them. So I struggled through the first three and then I was locked in the situation because I was like, okay, well, since I ate three of the new box and if one box is not enough, then less than three is definitely not enough. So I have to finish it then.
Oh, God.
So I was getting really bad sweats, and so I forced myself, so not enjoying it. Like, the last six chicken wings, I was just so, so miserable.
Oh, no.
So then I ate the last chicken wing, and then immediately started vomiting.
Oh, no, Jason.
And then I just puked up every chicken wing I ate, and I felt very embarrassed.
Oh.
And then
no.
I think I did a show that night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but as I was puking, I was just like, this is very me. This is something I would do.
Wow, this is so on brand for me.
No. And I almost did it again today. I fucking, I compulsively eat. I get excited, and then I just eat too much. I ate I almost ate a whole frozen pizza before we recorded, and almost happened again.
But it didn't.
I tried to induce, but it's fine. But now I'm here.
Not to that level, but I definitely do the thing where it's like there's only a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or like there's so much more left than I should save, you know, like it's not a big enough portion to have next time, so I'm just gonna eat it.
I would feel so unsatisfied by this tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I must eat it all now.
Exactly. So I realize that it's a thing that I do, and then after I feel like, oh my god, oh, you know, yeah. So I realized I did that, and then today for dinner, I was trying to finish this thing, and I went, actually, I already feel full. I should stop because I know, one, I have to record, and that I don't want to feel awful, but I just, in general, don't want to feel awful.
I'm still trying to figure
yeah,
that out.
Yeah, it is hard. It is something, I don't want to say it comes with age, because it is something where, like, when you're younger, you do a lot of shit to yourself that you don't realize you do until you start to feel the, like, repercussions of it when you're doing the same thing, but you're older.
Yeah, you just, getting older is like, it's like you gain so much more mental and emotional resilience, but all physical resilience is just out the window. I am so breakable.
I know. Like, you think you get stronger with age, and it's like, no, technically, after this age, we're already deteriorating.
Like, genuinely, you like the reason why Olympians are fucking, they're goddamn 16 years old.
Yeah.
Is why I should be allowed to date 16-year-olds. It's like, clearly, biologically speaking, no. But like,
they're
if you think like
peak physicality,
that's what makes me think. Like, I was such a goddamn goober at like 17, and like that was literally be it my strongest that I'll ever be.
Yeah. Exactly. Fucking crazy. Yeah, like you could have picked up a couch, but then morning you just housed a whole box of Pop-Tarts. Like, that's it. No fucking protein, greens, nothing.
What a time to be alive.
It's so fascinating to be in your brain. Two, I know it's real simple to be like, hey, don't do the things that make you feel shitty, because you know. But just try to think about that. Be like, will this 17th chicken wing make me feel shitty? What's going to make me feel shittier? Eating 3 more chicken wings or barfing them all up?
Oh, man.
There you go.
Cured. I think I did just kind of discover bulimia. Like, I was like, hey, I feel better. This, like, the guy that never heard of it before was like, this is great. Like, I got, like, best of both worlds. I had my cake and ate it, too.
Oh, my God. I could eat wow. This, in the first 17 minutes of this podcast, we have endorsed bulimia, pedophilia, suicide.
Well, so far you're saying we. This is I feel
we
a lot
from
of we.
The both of our mouths.
Okay.
Both of our gobs. Actually, I would like to do a disclaimer right now. None of that is true. We do not condone any of that because someone out there will be upset. Because if there's one thing about the world, someone is always upset.
No, I think that would be from your side of the audience. If I'm being ethereal. How about we get started, Kathy?
Yeah, let's get started. I think you go first.
Me.
Yeah.
I will go first.
Do it. I'm going to relax.
Okay. So I'm going to keep it easy peasy. This is like, I was telling Kathy before we recorded, this is like the least research I've done because it's just so easy peasy. Like, trying to sell this topic on someone, you're all going to Google it. You're all going to go on YouTube and you're going to fly to this country and you're going to indulge in this. What I'm doing for... I was gonna do one specific aspect of it, but I'm going to do like a general overview and just focus on three things.
Got it.
For my topic, I am doing the Japanese rentable people side hustles.
Oh my God!
The rent-a-person industry in Japan is wild.
I am so upset you did this. I've always wanted to do this, and I keep forgetting. Fuck.
It's so good. Because I first came across, like, the... Because I've always heard of it, because there's always, like, there's always Rent-A-Girlfriend, Rent-A-Boyfriend. Mm. Conan on did a yes, really good that's where video I know. Where he did Rent-A-Family, which was such a good video.
Before we go into it, I will get into, like, a week or two of just watching all of Conan's remotes, even though I've seen them before.
Oh, they're the best.
They're the best.
And, like, okay. The funny thing is, he looks so out of place in America. And then you put him in, like, other countries, and he looks like a fucking freak. Like, him in Japan makes no logical sense.
No.
It's like we are a different species. Yeah. Well, no, he is a different species from humanity.
Yeah.
He's like a space elf. Did you know in, like, I think it's, like, Scandinavia, like, 65% of the population believe in elves?
Yeah.
Like, majority. Like, what do they know that we don't know?
They've seen them.
But... I think if that could be Conan.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Oh, my God.
He looks
My
alien.
Last thing about Conan is 1993 Conan.
Is he hot?
Super hot.
I feel like there's a little bit of the Zoomer cycle with him. Let me see. Conan, 1993.
There's one particular
photo.
Oh,
yeah. He's cute. Yeah, he's cute.
Photo of him in his dress shirt sitting behind his desk. I don't know if I can find it, but that's my favorite photo of Conan.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Okay, that's it. That's the end.
The topic that, like, the specific renter person that kind of piqued my interest is, have you heard of Debukari?
No.
Debukari is the Japanese practice. Okay, so actually, before I go, in Japan, it's a very common thing in a very growing industry of people that will just rent out themselves. Not prostitution, not sexual, not even romantic, just renting out themselves, like, their time, like, to hang out. Mm. And it's because there's an article... Oh, you can put it in the linked up, but it's about, like, the growing, like, loneliness is a huge... Japan, as a country, has a lot of very unique societal problems, I guess, is the word for it. But they have a big, big, big problem with loneliness.
I wanted Japan. To talk about this.
Yeah, you still can.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
I'll let you do a do-over, because there's many different kinds of... You could do the part two, because there's so many different kinds of people you could rent. So many kinds of people. But so, like, loneliness is a big problem in Japan right now, so people are running out of time. So, Debukari is, I think, one of the strangest ones in Japan. Debukari is renting fat people. Have you heard of this?
No!
It's going so big right now of renting fat people. And I'm going to send you, it's very strange. I'm going to send you a link to their catalog of people that you can rent.
For what purpose?
I will tell you.
Oh.
I will tell you, Kathy.
Jumping the gun.
Where do I link you? I'm such a goddamn boomer. Every day I boom more and more. Okay, so I'm sending you the catalog, so you can tell me which ones catch your eye. So, the way it works, it's not a sexual thing at all. Mm-hmm. And so the main reason why a lot of people rent Debukari is these are some reasons provided by the founders of this movement. In I want help to pick out a present for someone who is bigger for a bigger person who's a friend of mine. Mm. I'm doing cosplay. These are, like, on the, like, their website, the videos are like, these are, you want to do it? I'm doing cosplay and I want someone to dress as a heavyset character.
Mm-hmm.
I want someone to stand beside me in photos so I look thinner. This is what they say on their website. This is, like, what they say when you interview them. They're like, oh, because Japan's weird. I want them to lift something. I want to watch them eat.
Oh, God.
This is my favorite. This is what they say. I want someone to play on a seesaw with me.
Oh, my God.
And some of what it is, it's like, some of it is, what gets weird for me, some of it is just modeling. Cause, like, this movement started from a lack of plus size models in Japan.
Mm.
So, like, it was a fashion, I think the guy I found, I think he was a fashion designer. and he wanted to design clothes for bigger people, but he couldn't find any models. So he just created a harem to hire fat people in general just to hang out. Because a lot of people, they just like, Japanese people are just like, I want to go to dinner with you, and I want you to eat a very big meal so I can watch. And then you're big and happy and smiley.
Mm.
It's so bizarre. And the video to watch, all these, there's a YouTube channel called Nobita from Japan. Okay. And he did all like the journal, like the investigation on the on like these rent to people, and it's very fun. And is my favorite person ever. What was his name? I think it's Ayane or something. In Nobita's video, he interviews the rent to people, and there's this one guy. He is literally sunshine on two legs. This Aww. Guy, he comes into frame skipping, and his whole thing is like, he's just like, hey, so like my thing is I've always had this big glowing personality with a big smile. People have always loved me, and people have always like had fun around me. So when I heard about this, and it's like they're only fat people, it's perfect for me. So what he does is like he'll get hired. It's like a girl's. It's so bizarre. It's a girl's birthday party, and he's paid. It's like probably like $20 an hour for us. He gets paid. He brings in the cake, and he smiles, and he gives her the cake, and they sit beside each other while they both eat the cake. And they take pictures with him. And that's his job.
Wow.
It's just to... But he seems to really, really like it.
What's his name again? Sorry?
Nobita from Japan is the channel. The guy's name is Amayan. He is a certified rent-a-fat person. And he is so full of joy. And he's so wonderful. And he's like... He really gets the most out of his life. There's no specificity in what you do. It's literally just like...
Literally anything.
I just want to look at you. I just want to look at you. And it's so, because it's a very, I guess it's a very petite country. Because I think statistically, yeah. only 3% of the population is considered like very overweight. 3%.
Yeah.
So like they have a weird. It's part of the initiative behind I forgot the word. Part of the initiative behind Debakari is they want to enlighten. They want to lift some of Japan's ignorance on fat people because it's a very fat phobic country, and so they're they say their goal is to like offer more modeling public image and just like a better public image for fat people. But at the same time, it's like, but I read what you are suggesting. It's like watch us eat, take pictures with us,
fucking ogling us,
seesaw, play on a seesaw with me.
Crazy.
So I would recommend if you're watching, Google Debakari and you can look through the catalog. Have you looked through the catalog, Kat?
Yes, I have. It is very interesting. Also, what's so funny is the way that men present themselves and the way that women present themselves.
Yeah. Yes, in Japan, that's very true.
Is very different.
It's a lot of the most normal looking guys you'll ever see who are just like, hey, yeah. What's up? And then like girls are just like, they're being very cute. Like a lot of kimonos, a lot of makeup, a lot of filters. And then there's just guys
frowning,
just frowning or just staring. And they're just looking at you.
It's so funny that some of these guys, you wouldn't even be like, that's a fat guy.
That's the thing. Yeah. A lot of it's like, the guys especially are there. Like there is someone who's like, you're not fat at all.
Yeah.
You're just a thick boy.
Wow. Not even thick. He's like a size large. That's it. But yeah, like in Japan, a lot of Asian countries are fat phobic. I feel like I can see this coming from Asian culture.
Mm-hmm.
Being Asian myself and having grown up Asian. Being Asian my whole life.
No matter how many times I ask you to stop, you keep doing it.
I keep saying I'm Asian. I keep insisting. Yeah, they are, but especially Japan. Especially the women. Okay, do you have more to say about this? Because then I was going to get into my thoughts and stuff.
Oh, yeah, you can. I think because I'm going to move on to the other ones after, but I think we're good on Debakari. I think, I think that's all I have to say for the rent-a-fat person, the Debakari. So how do you feel?
I mean, the thing that you were saying too, like what they're saying is, oh yeah, it's nice. Like this is providing bigger people, fat people, with like more of a platform to be out there and not like be stigmatized or whatever. But then it's just like people want to rent you to just, like watch you eat.
Yeah, and for like the modeling, then sorry, that why then why isn't there just like a modeling agency? What like why
yeah.
like and so like for that that kind of raises problems mine. So like, are you getting them to do modeling jobs for like minimum wage then? Because like yeah. It, like yeah, so that it doesn't the math doesn't add up on yeah. that.
But anyways, that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, it is very strange. Do you want to hear what the next rent a person
of
is?
Of course.
I like this one a lot. Rent a middle aged person.
Amazing.
Rent a middle aged person just to be there. Just a middle aged person that you can just talk to. And this one's actually kind of interesting.
That's what I do.
That's what you do? Who do you do?
Yeah, I live with him.
Oh, that's true. Well, yeah, I guess you got a you mortgaged one.
I did. I mortgaged one. Least.
the middle person where I like on this one, it's the woman, it's a woman that Nobita interviews for this, and it's a very, very sweet lady, but just got, a divorcee who just got fucked around by her dirtbag husband too many times, because she talks to her like, she's like, I had a shitty husband who just kept cheating on me. She cheated on me all the time, and then the last time he cheated on me, when I said it was the last time, I complained about relationship. Like, I couldn't go to my friends anymore because I just complained about my husband all the time to my friends. And I kind of tapped that whale dry, and I can't talk. Young people are useless to me. Like, what's a fucking 20-year-old gonna tell me? So, and she has all these negative feelings, and she can't afford a therapist. So she rented middle-aged people, and that's become the purpose of specifically rent a middle-aged person. It's actually like a roundabout way to it's like almost therapy. It's a cheat. Yeah. It's a therapy cheat because like the way it works, it's just if you just need someone to talk to, you can't. And at $20 an hour is a lot cheaper than fucking $100 an hour.
Yeah.
And you don't want to talk to one more Zoomer for the rest of your fucking life. Which is, side note, as a comedian, I have to talk to Zoomers now and I fucking hate it.
Yeah, dude. They're the ones with the money. Well, not the money. Sorry. That's not what I meant. They're the demographic.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's like this woman. And so she rented middle-aged people for a long time just to talk to it. Now she is a rented middle-aged person.
Wow.
Where it's a lot of what her day is just like, people going through divorces, people going through problems at work, fired. They're just in very in-between spots in life, and they just want... And Japan is specifically, and I think Asian countries in general, they have a lot more value put to elders.
Yeah.
Like, respect for elders. So it's like, it's a thing in Japan, just like, talk to an elder and just bounce ideas off an older person. So he's like, well... It's like, oh no, like I want to go to school for this, but my friends are going here, my girlfriend's saying this, and it's and like if you don't have a good relationship, and if your dad sucks, you can't talk to your dad, just rent Yosuke. That's one of the guys, his name is Yosuke. He's just like, all right, cool, he's a voice teacher. And he's like, all right, cool. No, like, I'll listen, I'll give you what advice I have. I was like, if I were you, I would have done this.
I love this.
I think it's really cool, and this is one I would totally do, because I can't afford therapy.
Yeah,
I would love to talk to some middle-aged people.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, what I thought was really interesting, the rented middle-aged person, Yosuke, specifically, he one of his clients was this woman who was in an abusive relationship with her partner, and she was just so mentally and emotionally worn down and exhausted. So what she was doing is... sometimes when you're in such a bad point in your life, you just need someone to make decisions on your behalf, like a parent. So what she would talk to Yosuke, and what Yosuke would do, he found her the shelters, he found her the people to talk to, he got her to go out, because it's just like because she was worn out. So he's just like, okay, so this is what you need. You should do this, you should do this, you should do this, and you should do it now. And so he's like, okay, cool. And then that's how she got out of it.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. Just like, because if you're so exhausted by something, you just lay down and let it happen. And unless someone does it for you, sometimes it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
So I think that one's pretty cool. I would absolutely, would you rent a middle-aged person? A second one?
I don't think I would rent a middle-aged person. I think I would rent myself out as a middle-aged person. Yeah, I would. Capitalism, baby.
Yeah, it's too bad. There isn't really, like, I guess, other than, I was going to say, there isn't really, like, rent a young woman, but I'm like, oh, yes, there is.
Jason, sweet summer child.
The old, I think I just invented a new job.
No, like, I would wait, I mean, no, I just have a hard time of people telling me what to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, renting a middle-aged person to then tell me what to do, I'd be like, oh, I fucking know. Shut up.
Okay.
I have that problem.
You're resistant.
Yeah, yeah, I'm resistant to that. But I would definitely rent myself out so that I could go tell people what to do. I like that.
I think it'd be, and you make money.
And I make money.
Do you think this could catch on at all in, like, Western countries?
I was going to talk about this because I think that, see, the cool thing about these things is that in Japan, they're like, okay, this is the problem we have. So how do we solve it? No. You just rent out people who are willing to be rented out. There you go. Yes, you're buying friendship and companionship, but also, like, how many statistics have we heard of, like, men who hire prostitutes, sex workers, who hire sex workers and then end up just wanting to talk to them?
Yeah, it's true. It's all the time.
Right?
Because there's a wall between, because I'm trying to think, like, when it comes to psychiatrists or therapists, Obviously, they're good. They have their place. Sometimes, even if it's not, like, the costing's a huge part, but sometimes you don't want to talk to a therapist. Sometimes you just want to talk to someone. Like, you don't want solutions. You just want, because that's what romantic partners are for. It's like, I don't want solutions from you. I don't want you to give me advice. I have bad feelings in my tummy and in my head. I want to say them so they're out of my body for the night. I just want to express my negative feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what you were saying, like, you don't want a professional sometimes. You don't want to, like, work through things. Sometimes you just want to say things out loud, and lots of people will be like, well, then you journal. But it's not the same.
No.
This is something I always tell people, where it's like, sometimes saying it is just enough. Like, you don't have to do anything about it. You don't have to be like, okay, I have this problem and I need fixing. Sometimes just saying that you have a problem is halfway to solving it.
Yeah, I just need to hear it. I just need to hear myself say it.
Yeah, exactly. You just need to say it out loud. I don't think that, like, Western countries would be as blatant about it, where they would have, like, a catalog of people to rent. Because I feel like there's going to be a stigma. They're like, oh, that's not genuine, like, that's what friends are for, and blah blah blah, when they're like, we're literally trying to solve a problem for people who are lonely in the moment.
No.
Telling them to learn how to make friends is like telling them to then develop social skills, which, like, they should, but also this helps them get to there.
They can't. And although, but another thing, Japan, because I'm thinking of more, it's very much just a commodity, too, because there's also hosts and maid cafes, where it's, where you go to a restaurant or a cafe, and if you're a woman, you just buy a man's time, and he just sits with you, and he's a handsome host, or, like, as a guy, you just buy a girl, and she does, like, that streamer thing, where they just kind of go, like,
oh, I hate.
They go in and out. They just it's just a non-sex workers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just so popular there. I have one more.
Do it.
And this is just a single guy who I think is the coolest fucking guy ever.
Wow.
His name is Morimoto Shoji. And this guy, he's a rent-a-person. He rents himself out. He's known as, like, rent me and I will do nothing in particular. His whole thing is, rent me, I will do nothing. And people rent him. And what he says, it's so funny. When he does his, like, he explains, he's this such a fucking normal guy. He's just such a guy. TM, just default guy, who's like, yeah, people will hire my services. I don't do anything. I will eat and drink with you if you want. If you ask me something, I won't give you much conversation. I will just kind of give brief responses, and that is all I will do. I will be around you, and it's just this guy. And you'll get into it in a second. But when you watch it, he's underselling himself. He sells companionship. He just needs he's literally just like, no bells and whistles. Just, I will make you feel less lonely.
Yeah. I'm another warm body in the same room as you.
Just, and I'll just fly around and it kind of nods. And it's actually very sweet because in this video you see he's with a client of his, Takahiro, who's this sweet, sweet, sweet man who it's kind of funny to watch at first because literally just like Takahiro's just walking and Morimoto is just lagging behind him a little bit, slowly walking behind him. They're not talking. He's just like just around each other. But then Takahiro explains, like, he started hiring Morimoto because his best friend died. It was his best friend in the world, and he died 3 months ago, and he has not been able to visit his grave. Because he was too afraid, and he was too emotionally, he couldn't handle doing it by himself. So he brings Morimoto to be with him so he can visit his friend's grave. And he doesn't, and what he wants, he just tells Morimoto about his friend. He's like a grief counselor in this really cool way. He doesn't talk to you about it. He doesn't guide you through. So what it does is Takahiro, he just explains his relationship with his best friend, what he loved about him. He shows him pictures of his friend. And then Morimoto is so cute. He like looks through his picture. He's like, oh, he nods like, oh, that's very nice. And then, so he's like, this is him here, this is when he did this, this is when he did this, and they're at his grave, and he just explains, it's so cute. And
oh, I'm gonna cry.
And you can't, it almost got me, and Morimoto had a really cool point, because he said, someone like me that just is doing nothing, someone that does nothing, a blank slate like me, it makes people feel comfortable to tell him, to be vulnerable to him. Like, people will tell him everything about themselves, because there's no judgment. He never makes a face. Yeah. He doesn't say anything. He just nods, just like, okay. And they tell him, and they, all their fears, everything that they feel deep down, they won't tell anyone else. They'll tell to him.
Yeah. Aww.
Just because people, another thing, just someone to talk at. No conversation, just let me talk at you.
Yeah.
So I think he's my favorite. I recommend, and you can just YouTube, what's the actual title? Let me see. Because it's such a funny YouTube title.
Pay this guy to do nothing.
Okay. Japanese man rents himself out for offering nothing in particular. I'm gonna link you that.
Very good.
So that is, I think, do you have any thoughts, Ketty?
I really like the concept. Obviously, like, there could be, I think the reason why that doesn't happen here is that there's a lot more risk of danger, I would say, because, like, I think, obviously, North America has a higher crime rate than, like, Japan, right? Lots more people getting murdered over here than over there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on that, but I think.
I think so.
Yeah. So I feel like, I think it would be a beneficial thing to happen here, because I think lots of people need that, and they don't understand that. That's why, like, we both work. Mm-hmm. Used to work at a coffee shop. Like, you used to work at a coffee shop.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Right? That's actually very true. It's, bartenders, too.
Bartenders, hairdressers.
Podcasts, like, I know, to be honest.
Yeah. I was going to say that, too, because, like, I feel like, especially with the middle-aged one, is there you could rent out someone to just tell you what to do or, like, give you advice or whatever because you respect them. Here, it's, like, people having advice podcasts or a celebrity, like, writing a self-help book. Or that's why we have, like, lots of life coaches and stuff because people are looking for the exact same thing. And I think in the West, we also have, like, a loneliness problem. We just haven't identified it as one.
Yeah.
Or we think we don't because we have a lot of social media and we're like, oh, we can't be lonely. Like, we're interacting with people all the time. But inherently, I think when you get down to the actual point of it is that we're doing it because we're lonely. We're seeking connection.
I think, yeah, no, I really think so too. It's, well, cause it's an interesting time to be lonely. Cause it's in some ways it's the best time for some, cause living in an age of online friendship.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, it's the least. In some ways, it's the least lonely time for some, but other ways, it's the most lonely time.
Exactly,
because some people do just entirely exist socially only online, and they can feel very fulfilled. They say,
mm-hmm.
But no, it's very, very peculiar.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't know. I think it would be beneficial, and as a very simple statement, I don't know about the. I'm not thinking about the, like, logistics of it and the safety aspect of it.
That's my thing. It's like, how...
Yeah.
Like, one of those, like, you can get murdered real easy.
You can get murdered so easy, you know? But, like, people do be out there being lonely because, yeah. Like I was saying before, we both worked at a coffee shop at the same time. The amount of people we would see once a day, multiple times a day, who literally just want to talk to yeah. us. And our actual, a big part of our job is being emotionally invested in them.
Yeah, when it really we're is.
Clocked in is crazy.
It's that's being so emotionally true.
Open to them. And lots of times people would just like, they don't realize that they want to talk to someone until we like offer it to them. And then they go on telling us about so much that's happened or what they're going through. And then you're supposed to just be like, okay, well, like, I hope it gets better. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
In, like, just the 5 minutes that you interact.
You just have to do very non-committal, placating, but very positive. You can't, like, yeah. you can't invest yourself too much, but you have to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, and, like, I'm so sorry. Or, like, that's awesome. Well, let me know how that goes. Or just, like, you got yeah. this. Just very much, very measured responses.
Very measured responses. Very, like, kind of transactional because it is in our job description yeah. to do it. And they're like, oh, that's so nice, the barista. And like more than half the time I am being genuine about it, but it's just like,
yeah.
It is part of my job. I am going to have to do it. So it's like, we do those things like barbershops and hairdressers. I know hairdressers get trauma dumped on all the time.
Yeah.
like your nail ladies, your estheticians, and anybody who like works on your body, you know, they hear a lot of things because they're like, oh, how are things?
You want to know?
Just like, you're like, oh, yeah. You just like go into it, you know? And like here, it's like we have the facade of, oh, no, you're just going to them for a service. But it's just like any service worker will tell you, any retail worker will tell you, a lot of our job is like emotionally exhausting.
Yeah.
Because we are there for people.
I don't miss that. That's true. I don't miss that aspect. Like I forgot about it till you brought it up about how you have to be so tuned in to like how they're and even just their daily schedule, and you have to know. It's like OnlyFans.
Yeah.
It's OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Except I don't make goddamn six figures. Yeah, like
your daily schedule, like their daily schedule. If someone comes in a little bit later than they normally do, you're like, oh my god, you're late today. Yeah. Or you
see like a nighttime person in the evening, you're like, well, what's going on here, bud?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like you're already ingrained because they, yeah. So I think we have it. It's just, it's not the same thing. It's not actually as open as like, hey, I'm renting myself out for companionship. Me, I'm like, I'm serving you a cup of coffee, but do you want to talk about your trauma and your hopes and dreams? Because I can't really stop you if you start going. I'm not going to be like, well, you can, thank you. Next. You know?
Pause.
Pause. Goodbye.
Unsubscribe.
That's why. Yeah. I think that if we had that here, something more open like that, we would have less of an onus on the service industry to fucking bear the grunt of it, you know? Because again, not a lot of people go to therapy or can afford therapy. And lots of people also don't think that they need therapy until they go to a coffee shop and then they make friends with the baristas.
And Bruce, I'm sure, like, I know
old 60-year-old dudes. Yeah.
I know? I've done it too. I know I've also overshared to because it's almost like a power, because like, so you just have to say it. You just have to get it out of your head. And you just look at these people and they're like, you have to say it. You have to hear it. You can't tell me no.
Exactly. Like, you're literally paid to clock in and stand there and talk to me. I'm going to talk to you.
Am I balding?
No.
Good.
You're also showing me one side of your head.
It's like, ah! Oh, okay.
But is that it? Is that the end?
That's my topic.
Good job, buddy. Really good.
Yeah.
That's one of my, I think, favorite topics of yours.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
One of my best friends that I've made through the comedy scene is an Australian person. And it's just so fucking bite my tongue every time they speak. Because like, they're from Tasmania too. So it's literally that accent is just so dominated by vowel sounds. It's literally like every time she says no, I have to bite my hand. Because I'm just like,
I would not be able to.
They go, naru.
Narn. I would not be able to. No.
It's I truly, it's like it's they're testing the limits of my friendship every time they speak. They're watching Seymour for the holidays.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Seymour. Will Seymour be okay?
I don't care. If he dies, he dies. He is driving me fucking crazy. I have to I'm out of ideas with him in the garbage. There's literally nothing I can do to keep him out of the garbage except my garbage I keep in my washroom now.
Oh my god,
because what I have to do now, I have to throw out all my garbage, buy safety child locks for my cupboards, and I have to buy some weird like small garbage can that he can't get in. I have to keep it under the cupboards and then child lock the cupboards.
Oh my god.
Because I used to start keeping it under the cupboards, then he got into it.
Oh my god.
He can open cupboards. He can open doors. He's like the fucking velociraptors in Jurassic Park. Anyway, what were you saying?
I love that the biggest antagonist in your life is your fucking cat that you rescued.
I hate him. He sucks. I love him so much, but he's actually the worst cat I've ever met in my life. He sucks. He's a terrible cat. He still bites me all the time. He still can't read him. He eats my garbage like a pig. And he's just... And now he doesn't shut up. My favorite part about him for a long time is he didn't make a single goddamn noise. He was a completely silent cat. Now he doesn't shut the fuck up. God, I can't stand him.
He's just trying new things. He'd be like, okay.
He's so annoying.
He's hit the garbage. And what can I do now?
Yeah. Everything. Anyway. So, that's yeah.
So funny. Anyway.
Yeah, my friend's going to watch him. And then I explained to them. I was like, just so you know, because like, they're obsessed with how cute he is. I'm like, he's cute. He sucks. He's not fun to have. You're not going to have any fun with him. And if anything, he's going to be not like anti-fun. And she's like, and they're like, no, but he's so cute. I love him. I'm like...
Are you going to be so pissed if when you come back, she goes, oh my god, he was a dream?
Well, here's the thing. That might happen because, like an abuser, he's nice to everyone but me. He's so sweet because he's only violent to people he trusts, which is me. I'm the only person he trusts, so he's a dick to me.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's like me. I punch people I love.
Yeah, but you don't have claws and you don't bite them. You don't draw blood.
No. This is true. Right. Do you think I could punch someone? Molly told me once that she could never imagine me punching someone, and I got so mad.
Well, the funny
thing, still to this day.
My very first reaction was, oh my god, yes, of course. But also, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. It's actually, I don't think never.
Mm. But she, when I said it, she laughed so hard, did not stop laughing for 5 minutes. And she's like, no, that's impossible.
And then you just clocked
it. And I got so mad. And she's like, look at you. You look so cute being so mad. And I was like, I'm mad.
And then you just broke her nose. And you haven't talked to her since.
Yeah, I fucking socked her.
Yeah.
No, she thinks I can't do it. Anyways, good job on your topic. Thank you. Great story.
Tell me.
For my topic,
tell me.
I am going to talk to you about the first ever cam girl.
What?
Yeah. Have you heard of Jenny Cam?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Jenny Cam.
So, Jennifer K. Ringley, is an internet personality, a former Lifecaster, so no one uses that word anymore. But life, the definition, Webster's Dictionary defines life casting as a continual live streaming of events in a person's life through digital media. What we know today is vlogging. But yeah. Like, life casting is like literally just putting on a camera and then not editing it, nothing, just existing while the stream is going on. So she is attributed as being the first ever cam girl. She put it out as a way to be a straightforward document of her life. She did not filter and was sometimes nude, engaging in sexual behavior, including sex and masturbating.
Whoa, Jennifer.
Whoa. Jenny Cam. Some was she people... hot?
Can I Google her?
Yeah, you can Google her.
What was it? Jenny.
Jenny Cam. So J E N N I C A M.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So what year was this again?
1996, sorry.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, yeah, this is cute.
So, some people who tuned in were obviously interested in the sociological implications of what she was doing, while others literally just watched it because they were horny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the two sides of the coin. Some credit her as being the, like, founder of reality television, like, a la Big Brother and stuff. Like, at the same time that she was doing this, it was kind of coming up at the same time.
It's so strange. Something about, like, the shitty webcam, like, the resolution makes it seem so much creepier. Because I'm just thinking of it today. Like, what I'm looking at now, if it was just a better quality webcam with like, some fucking Zoomer e-girl, this would look totally normal. But the fact that it's, like... she's very cute. The fact that it's kind of a plain looking, she's a somewhat plain looking girl mm-hmm. in a grainy, shitty webcam in like a not that attractive room. Like the room's very blech. It makes it look creepier.
It's very creepy.
It looks creepy.
I was looking at photos and I was like, there's something so off putting about this.
It seems so like an imminent snuff. Imminent snuff.
Yes. Yes.
And like the ugliest guys. What the fuck?
Classic.
Yeah.
So on the live stream, she wouldn't talk a lot about her sex life, but she would talk a lot about her romantic life. Mm-hmm. She maintained the website for 7 years and 8 months, starting in April 14th, 1996. She was raised as a nudist. Yeah. And then her first ever webcam she set up was in her dorm when she was 19, I believe. But the official start of her website was April 14th, 1996. So, this was back in the dial-up days. I don't know how many people remember the dial-up days, but even, like, when we started to be on the internet, it had already gotten better by that point, by, like, the early to mid-2000s. It was much better than it was in the 90s.
I guess I do remember, I did grow up at a time when you could not be on the phone and the internet at the same time.
Yes, yeah. So, like, that's very early on, I remember that. But by the time we were, like, actively on the internet by ourselves.
Yes. Right? And that wasn't a thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a thing. So she was live streaming her life before Google was even a thing. Because she started in 96, and I think Google started in
1998. That's so strange. It's so strange to see people so ahead of the curve.
Yeah. This was very... I know, especially, like, internet-wise and... how it was a long time ago or, like, how new the internet was to them. And just... So, the reason why I brought up the dial-up thing is because what live streaming consisted of was the website would refresh every 3 minutes with the most recent picture from the webcam. So, it wasn't even, like, a continuous moving video. It was photos, essentially.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just, like... photos, kind of like stills of
next. I guess this is just
something before. Happening every 3 minutes.
Because, like, remember, like, back when I did Nasabi, that Japanese reality show where, like, they live streamed it the whole time, the guy in the side of the room?
Yeah.
Because that was, like, early 2000s, and even then that was, like, shit.
Yeah, by then, that is much better than what was happening now. Because literally, these are, like, every 3 minutes. So imagine, people, like, millions of people were tuning into this.
Wow.
Like, on an average, 3 to 4 million people at its peak were tuning into this. And it was, like, one photo every 3 minutes. And that was considered the live stream. Yeah. Like, there is obviously, in this day and age, it is unheard of. But it's crazy.
That's so crazy.
Right? So strange. That people would, like, tune in for that. But I guess, obviously, at that time, they're like, wow, this is amazing. We never get to see people do this.
The guys are so ugly.
So, in June 1997, she started charging viewers for, like, a subscription kind of service. I think the subscription came later, but she started charging viewers. And then some aspects would be free. But then those who actually paid would have their website refresh faster and they would get more images faster.
That's just so many people are watching her.
Yeah.
So many people.
She then eventually, once she started to, like, get big, she, like, graduated university, moved out, and then she got, like, a big apartment. She had different webcams set up in different rooms, and she put up, a subscription service, so she also had a lot of cats and ferrets.
I know, I just saw you looking at it now, looking at a picture, it's her with a ferret that's really cute.
Yeah. She had a lot of cats and ferrets, so, like, she set up webcams in every room, so sometimes she wouldn't even be in the room, but people would pay to just watch the room. And, like, depending on the activity in the room, or, like, if it was, like, the bedroom, then I guess she would pay more. Depending on the room, would be your, like, different tiers of what you would pay for the subscription service. Wow,
such a normal-looking girl.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I know, such a normal-looking girl.
Yeah, there's such an Ashley-looking girl. This is, like, she looks like a Swifter, a T-Swifter.
She looks very, like, Midwest.
No offense
to anybody in the Midwest, but a, like, very plain-looking Midwestern girl. In 1997, she started doing some strip teases on the stream.
Scandalous.
After she did that, a group of hackers discovered her on Fnet and teased her. And then after that, she was hacked. And then she received death threats. Because obviously, you cannot be a woman in the public eye without receiving death threats for literally just existing.
I can't believe I haven't sent you one yet. Like, it's strange that I haven't sent you one yet. I feel like
Jason, honestly, you're so nice to me. The fact that you don't threaten my life every day is a miracle. And that's why we're friends. The bar is so low, my friend.
It really, yeah. I'm really thriving in this no bar world.
So after she got hacked and received death threats and was made fun of and all that stuff, she stopped doing strip teases. So before, I guess when she was younger also, she wasn't as comfortable, but the camera used to be turned off during, like, really private moments. And then eventually she stopped doing that, and then it would be on even when she was, like, engaging in sexual acts with partners or by herself.
Because I'm seeing some guys, and I'm wondering, like, is there just, like, pure sex? I wonder if she has any presence on Pornhub. One second.
Yeah, I'm surprised you hadn't heard of her.
Yeah, this is very interesting.
So because she owns several ferrets, and, like, Jason, 3 to 4 million people in 1996, 1997. This is a big fucking deal. Insane. She was featured in the Wall Street Journal and the Modern Ferret because she had a lot of
ferrets. That's the one I saw. That's the image I saw. I loved it.
So I wasn't going to talk about Jennifer Ringley first. I was going to talk about someone named Anna Vogue. I don't know. It's V-O-O-G. She was the cam girl I had originally heard of because she was one of the most popular cam girls. She live streamed for 24/7 for 13 years.
Whoa, she's cool.
Yeah, so from 1997 to 2008.
She's like kind of like a freaky Euro-punk kind of girl.
Yeah, but she's like from Minnesota.
Get the fuck. No, there's no way.
Hold on.
This is like
Wikipedia age. Yeah. Minneapolis, Minnesota.
What? She's like a Bjork, kind of like a, not a Bjork, but like a weird, like, picture just like a weird, like, I would have thought you were from Austria or something. That's so crazy.
Like if Courtney Love and Bjork had a baby, that's what this woman would look like. Yeah. Yeah. So she was born under a different name to a Lutheran minister father, but then she later changed her name. So that's why she sounds like cooler and whatever, but she's from Minneapolis, Minnesota. So, I originally was going to do this, her as a topic because I came across a Vice article, which I will link later, about, written by her about how, why she did it and, like, what she did. Hers was a little bit more performative, like Anna's, but hers was called Anna Cam. Obviously, they're not that different. Jenny Cam, Anna Cam. Hers was a little bit more performative because she would add, like, artistic aspects to it because she is a musician and an artist and a performer.
Yeah, hers seems more interesting.
Yeah, but like when I was going through the thing, I was like, either just talk about this one person or talk about like the first person. She's really cool. I think people, like, I'm gonna link the Vice article and people should check her out because I especially like the things that she said in the Vice article about why she did it. she realized after the fact, like, it was a response to her PTSD. She had been sexually assaulted multiple times, and the way that she dealt with it and the way that she felt safe is to be as transparent as possible about things. So then that's why she would live stream all the time. She got a lot of criticism for, like, the sexual nature of her live streaming, but she was like, it's not sexual, it's a portrait of, like, sensuality. It's like, these things only exist because I am doing these things in my life. I'm not putting them on for the camera. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a little bit about Anna Vogue. I think people should check her out. Some of the things, like Jenny Cam and Anna Cam, some things are on YouTube. Like Jason and I were saying, seeing the, like, very grainy, pixelated photos of them, there's something, like, so weird and off-putting, and it's, like, pre-snuff stuff is, like, about to happen, but, like, nothing bad happens. There's literally one YouTube video I watch where Anna Cam is, like, a boring day when I have a cold.
Yes.
And it's literally her, like, laying down on the couch, and then it's just every so often a new image would come up.
I have now found the porn.
Oh! The actual porn?
Yes. And the ugliest guy I've ever seen. I'm gonna send you an image of... I guess it's too little. I'm sending you an image of her hand jobbing the ugliest man I've ever seen in my life.
Why are the guys in porn always so ugly?
Well, fucking ask Jenny Cam. Why? Like seriously. Like, granted, like, he looks like, yeah, like, the graininess makes him look even worse. But hold on.
Yeah.
So I'm to the podcast listener, I am sending Kat a screenshot of porn.
As is our dynamic.
This guy looks like. Remember, you ever watch Community?
Yes.
This guy looks like Starburns from Community.
No! Oh, God. One of the things that Anna wrote in her Vice article that I really liked is the thing that we were talking about before. It's like, the cool thing about the internet is that you realize how much people just want to connect with each other. And, like, lots and lots of people were tuning into Anna Cam's stream as well. And, like, mostly all they would be saying is, like, hi, I see you. Do you see me? Like, do you see me saying hi to you? Hi, I'm saying hi, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they literally just want to be acknowledged and recognized, and that's it.
Things do not change. It's so cool to see people so, like, but it's creepy to see, like, so ahead of the time, because that's why it's literally just guys will just donate money, so, like, they'll say, like, say my name.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, a really, really good movie, John Carpenter's Videodrome. Have you heard about Videodrome?
No.
It stars James Wood. It's one of, like, the one of three movies ever to take place in Toronto. So it's, like, set in Toronto. It's this really, 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 really cool horror movie. And it's so much more relevant. It's very, the relevance grew so much now. Because this is, like, right when TV and, like, videotapes were, like, the thing where people were trading videotapes. And the point of the show is James Wood, he finds, like, the secret channel on... like, it's a secret, like, dark web version of TV where it's, like, kind of weird snuff. And then the point of the show, the point of the movie is, like, people want to see more and more and more and more fucked up things. And it's, like, but that's, like, in, like, the 80s. And it's talking about, like, well, people get really, this is before internet was a thing. So it's, like, people get so desensitized and they start craving more and more heinous things just to make them feel something. And I'm like, bro, we're this, like, 30, like, two girls, like, you don't know Two Girls, One Cup, you don't know Pain Olympics, you don't know Something Awful. And it's like,
isn't it crazy?
It was in the cards. This was planned out from the beginning.
Yeah. Also, I like that our topics kind of relate to each other, because this hasn't happened in a while, I think. Our topics before used to always be kind of, like, kind of parallel or just adjacent to each other, which was always very cool.
I love that word adjacent because it has my name in it.
What else do I have to say? Okay, so back to Jennifer Ringley. So Jennifer, because again, she was a big deal, was in the Wall Street Journal. She was doing lots of, like, press and stuff. She appeared on Late Show with David Letterman.
Wow.
On July 31st, 1998. At the end of the interview, even though she had already corrected him, Dave advertised JennyCam.net instead of JennyCam.com. So when people visited, when people visited JennyCam.net, they found a porn website with the greeting, "Thanks, Dave." Jenny moved to Sacramento at one point after I think she had moved, like, graduated college and then lived in that apartment and then was like, oh, I need a bigger place. She received some criticism when she became involved with a man who was the fiance of a fellow webcammer and friend who helped her move to Sacramento.
Jenny.
Right?
Jennifer Camera. How dare you get down here right now?
On December 31st, 2003, she shut down her website because...
2003, wow.
I know. She shut down her website citing PayPal's anti-nudity policy. So because she had like a subscription service and that's, I guess, how she was charging people.
Oh.
They, because she had her... I think literally because she had her tits out at one point. Or like the cover page had her boobs or something. I don't know. But they were like, no, 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 you can't do this. And then she was like, I'm not going to fucking do this if I don't get paid.
She's not in for the love of the game?
Yeah. A quote Jenny had in a 2003 CNN article. So she said, I keep Jenny Cam alive not because I want or need to be watched, but because I simply don't mind being watched. So she, right now, after she ended her site, she... deleted her like online persona, her online footprint or whatever, as much as she could, which back then it was very easy to do,
I guess. Yeah.
And then disappeared from the internet.
So life. Cool.
She works for a web developer right now and intends to stay out of the public eye.
Wow.
And that's it. That's Jenny Cam.
She's cool.
Yeah. Anna Vogue is also really cool. I don't know, I didn't come across any other people, but like, it's just very interesting that even back then, obviously it was revolutionary to people then, and it was the most updated kind of technology that they had, but just people always are just seeking connections and
yeah,
trying to
how much money did
reach
she
across make? To one another.
Yeah.
I know, that's a good question.
Because I wonder, like,
how much money did she make?
Or I wonder if back then, because the weird thing, we live in this weird time, so now where it's like, it's been like too normalized to give money to streamers. I'll never understand why people do that. It's like the John Mulaney bit where it's like people just love to put their money, add their money to a pile of money. Where it's like these like...
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, a streamer, like this streamer, like, XQC, I don't watch him, I know he's a big streamer, but it's like, he just bought a $500 million mansion, and then people just go, like, and, like, and they are still donating to him all the time. It's like, why are you so desperate to give a millionaire more money? But they're just like, I don't know,
yeah.
I want to, because they make a lot of money. I want to be a part of how they make so much money.
Yeah, it's very odd, the, like... influencer streamer kind of dynamic.
Yeah, but I wonder if back then, because now that dynamic is so much more normal now, where people will, it's like expected, like, okay, yeah, I you give money to streamers. I wonder if back in Jenny Cam's days, if people gave more money or less money. Like, I wonder if it was like, if like, no, because I wouldn't be surprised if like she didn't make as much comparatively, because I bet. Can you imagine if any streamer had a regularly 7 million viewers? Anyone? Yeah,
exactly.
Because they would all fucking pitch in. If half of them, if like 1/10 of them gave a dollar, then she'd be loaded.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know how to do math. I kept trying to think. I could figure out math. But I'm just like, no, there's a seven. Seven's harder to devise. I got a straight 51 in math all high school.
Oh, I failed.
I failed. That's, a math. Class, I failed. I failed math once too. Yeah.
Yeah.
They put me in simple math 1 year, and I got like a 99.
I think I did that too. I think I took university level math, and then I really struggled. And then I think I did college or like applied math, yeah. And I was like, oh, this is better.
Better.
I don't know. Math is math just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't get it. I've never got it. I've never understood it.
That's not for me. That's for somebody else in the room. I will pay someone to do math for me.
Yeah.
I've actually gotten a little faster at like adding things, and I'm so fucking proud of myself.
That's good. As you get older, the fact that you're getting better at it is insane. That's impressive.
Bro, getting better at adding and subtracting, yeah. Not multiplying. Okay, if you tell me what's 7 times 14, I'm gonna end the call.
Yeah, see, though, I don't even know what add anymore, dude. I don't add.
2100? That's wrong. Hold on. I just want to see.
17 times 14? Okay, well, if you're writing it down, let me see.
I'm deleting that.
No, I'm doing it. Wait. 17.
Yeah, I'm deleting it.
No, but that's true because I believed it. I was also like, that sounds right. You said, what, 2100?
It's 238. It's 238. Jason, what are you talking about? It's 98.
You said 17 times 14, right?
No, I said 7 times 14.
Oh, this is 17. But okay, but either way, I still not 2100.
Either way.
But I heard 2100, I was like, maybe.
Yo, that sounds plausible. So, okay, the only way that 7 times 14 makes sense to me, if I do that math right now, is I will add up 14 7 times.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I'm so glad we have this podcast.
Yeah, it's just let it all out. Just let all the dumb out.
And we're not being paid to write code for fucking spaceships.
Oh my god, I'm so well, because that's what I'm now. Now I'm experiencing in life is like, oh, I have no skills.
That's not true.
But like employable. Like I have skills that like don't pay money.
You have employable skills.
No, but I mean, been employed. But I mean, so like office, like I have no technical skills. Like I don't know how to.
Oh.
I don't know how to add.
Do you have Excel? You proficient in Excel?
I'm barely proficient. Like I know like a tiny bit, but not even like I. I can just navigate it.
I cannot even.
I don't. I can't even either. I'm just trying to impress you.
I said. someone was trying to walk me through it once, and I said. Got it. And no, I it's have like, not touched
if you
since.
Can't if you've no application for it, it doesn't make sense. I sat through fucking 10 hours of an Excel course, but
you did.
I had to suffer through 10 fucking hours of this Microsoft Excel course that I had to do, cuz at work it was miserable, but I was getting paid to do it, which like, I hope no one from work will hear this, because in my job, we can get a certain amount of hours a year dedicated to, like, we have a free LinkedIn learning thing, where so if you want to learn a new skill, a new something, whatever, you can put work hours towards learning it. So it's really cool. So we only get 5 hours. I chose the 10-hour Excel course because I thought I think I knew that you're not supposed to do that, but I was gonna feign ignorance. Mm-hmm. I was gonna go like, oh, I'm not supposed to.
Oh, me, I didn't know that. I know nothing.
But it was impossible to learn because, like, with Excel, if it has no applicability, if it's not applicable, Christ, if it's not applicable to you in the slightest, it's just actual nonsense. Because I have nothing in my life that I would need Excel for. So I knew after like an hour in, I was like, this is – my brain's not receiving fucking anything. Because it's just like huge numbers. It's like, well, if you're in the HR department and you're looking at payroll and it's and it's like, I don't know anything. I literally just look at titties all day. That's my job. Is my job is I look at weird fetishes.
How can you Excelify titties and weird fetishes, huh? How do you graph that, huh?
It's just is my job is just watching meat slam into each other. So I'd done a quick Excel thing before, like some bullshit Excel thing. It was just like how to be a team player, whatever. Excel is like it was like an hour, but it was like it's an hour. I don't have to look at cock for an hour, so that's I'll do it. So like I just kind of played it on the background, looked at my phone, just did whatever, and then it got to the exam part of the LinkedIn, and it's just like I just would brute force it, so I'd be like, okay, I'll just guess them all, and it's like, you failed, try again. I'm like, all right, cool, blah, 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 blah. then I got the certification that proves that I did it.
Yeah,
so I was like, all right, cool, I'm just gonna do that for Excel. So and I was actually like trying to pay attention for the most part. I was just eyes glossed over, staring at my computer screen for 10 hours throughout this week. Like, actually not like I wasn't like playing video games or anything. I was actually somewhat trying to, but my brain wasn't processing anything. But the entire time I was just like, I let myself go numb because I was like, whatever, I'll just brute force the exam or whatever. But so I got to the end of the exam, and it's actually like an exam. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it was so fucking hard. It was like, I knew I was in trouble when I opened it up, and it was like 200 questions.
Oh, Jesus, that's my nightmare.
And I was like, what? It was like a stress dream in a way, yeah. And it was so fucked up. So like, I went on and immediately knew I don't know a single fucking thing about Excel. I just flunked it miserably, like a 7%.
Oh God!
Like just at a bad guessing rate too. So I was like, all right, cool, whatever. And then I was like, I'll just try again. I got locked out for 3 months. It's like a real exam. Then I wasn't able to take it.
Oh, God.
I couldn't retake it. And then so that 10 hours I literally wasted because now I don't have a certificate.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's 10 fucking hours that I just had to make up for. Yeah. Thank God it's Wednesday. So get ready. So I had to do like big work days Thursday, Friday. And so all that just time and energy is just wasted for I never retook it. I will never retake it.
No. You can so that's I wish you could put things on your resume like kind of did an Excel course.
It's like when they do like what's your education level? Yeah. Like I have some college.
I went and I graduated, but how much did I retain?
Not a goddamn thing.
Not a single goddamn thing.
You do speak English.
I do. So that's what my parents paid the big bucks for. There we go.
Hell yeah.
To learn the language I have spoken my whole life. Yay!
And you have such a way with it.
Let me express to you how I'm feeling. Yay!
Perfect.
Other than that, I think we're done. We're good. This is over.
I think we'll do it. We'll wrap it up.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. I think we have one more episode before the end of the year, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that. Jason, where can the people find you on social media?
They can find me at Bruddohoule. That's Bruddahoule. If you're in Montreal, please come to see my shows. I will post them on my Instagram so you can go to my shows.
Yes.
Kat, where can they find you?
They can find me at It's Catherine Ram on any social media. And they can find the podcast at YSEO Podcast on Instagram.
Amazing. Please tell your friends. Please share this podcast. Give us the stars and the ratings and all that stuff. And send this podcast to people because it's good.
Yeah. Force your significant others to listen to us, okay?
Oh, yeah. If you have anyone, like if this can't be listened by a single person.
If you are not like alone,
you count as two. You count as two people if you have a significant other, or just break up with them. Fuck you.
Yeah, they don't want to listen. Break up with them. Start over in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, buddy, adios.
Ay caramba. Let's go.